Psalms 139. There were a few things that happened this week, which I'm not going into details on, but that just once again reinforce upon my heart and mind that God Almighty is sovereign.
Yes, sir.
And there's two ways, well, there are probably more, but there are two major ways in which men approach this. Some approach this, God is sovereign, therefore I need to fear Him. Mm-hmm. You know? I need to be afraid of Him. Why? Because our Lord Himself said He has the power, that is both the ability and the right, the authority, to damn us in hell.
Exactly.
Isn't that what the book says? So men either see the sovereignty of God basically in these two ways. They see the sovereignty of God and they're made to fear God. Others see, whether they really see it, that's a questionable thing, but they intellectually, you see, they intellectually comprehend that it may be that God is this great, powerful being. But if everything is sovereign, if God is sovereign, and then everything's under His control, that which is happening is what He ordained to happen to begin with, then I'm okay. And I can do whatever I please. You see, that's an anomaly of the human mind. If God is sovereign, you're not doing whatever you please.
Exactly.
If God is sovereign, you're doing what He is pleased for you to do.
Amen.
Even if that's a sin, and He's pleased on damning you for that sin.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, this sovereign God, according to Scripture, is able to keep me from sinning.
Yes, sir.
Right? This sovereign God is also, this sovereign God's also able to keep me from falling.
Amen.
But I sometimes still fall.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
His ability and His sovereign purpose are under His control. And no matter what we think, we are without excuse.
Amen. That's it.
It doesn't matter if God did purpose me to go commit that sin. I'm still guilty when I commit that sin.
Exactly.
And I use this because people can fight against it all they want, but you can't fight against the truth if you really love it.
Amen.
Only for so long can you hold up your guard.
Yeah.
You see, Peter had to deny our Lord three times because God said so.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Peter didn't have the choice.
Yeah.
Any choice he thought he might have had was an illusion.
Yeah.
Right? Our Lord said, Satan hath required, he wanted you, desired you to sift you as wheat. And he doesn't say it, but it's clear. Our Lord said, Peter, the Father said it's okay.
Yeah.
You're going to let Him have you. And He's going to sift you as wheat so that you will deny Me three times.
Yes, sir.
But I prayed for you.
Amen.
Not that you won't deny, but that your faith fell not. So when Peter said, I don't know the so-and-so, he knew the so-and-so. He knew he knew. And let me tell you something. Peter could not help but commit that sin three times. But he wasn't about to commit it a fourth time.
Exactly.
And the mind that hates the sovereign God thinks, cha-ching, that justifies me. No. It doesn't justify you. It doesn't justify me. It doesn't justify Peter. But I'll tell you who it does justify. God.
Amen.
You see, this is who God is, whether people like it or not.
Exactly.
We're not up here trying to declare unto men a God that they like. Because if man naturally likes that God, that's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. David says it this way. I'm bringing it down now. This concerning this fact that concerning God's people, God has an intimate, sovereign knowledge of us.
Sir.
God knows all mankind. He knows every detail about all of mankind. But His knowledge of His people is different.
Yes, sir.
It's more. It's the same, but it's more.
Exactly.
It's with the same authority and power, but it's far more personal, individual,
yes, sir.
And it is loving.
Mm-hmm.
It is loving, even though it might be tough love.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Chastening is not easy. You ever been chastened to God? If you're one of His, for very long you have been.
Amen.
He's had to correct you because we go out of the way.
Yeah.
Right? But chastening is done how?
Yeah.
It says in love.
Right.
Right? Because He chastens every son He receives. Everyone He loves, He chastens. You see, chastening is not God getting us back.
Exactly.
Chastening is not God punishing us. If God punishes you for your sin, you got to die for it.
Exactly.
The punishment for sin is not losing your job.
Exactly.
The punishment for sin is not getting behind on your bills and having your telephone cut off. That's not the punishment for sin. The punishment for sin is the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
We all, elect or reprobate, we all reap what we sow.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to the everyday deeds of life.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you something. When it comes to eternal, the eternal answer to my sin, that was taken care of by Jesus Christ at Calvary, if I'm in Him. This is the reason that men will, that lost men, that rebellious men and women, this is the reason that unbelievers, this is the reason that the reprobate will suffer forever. It's not because sin is eternal. Sin's not eternal. Sin had a beginning somewhere. Because there was a time when only God existed, and God's perfect.
Yes, sir.
So, naturally, even rationally, Mason, sin had to come into existence sometime or another. Sin's not eternal. The problem is, sin, though temporal, is against an eternal God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He was offended by that sin before it ever happened.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, you said God purposed for it to happen. So what? Quit fighting against God. Take responsibility, or at least accountability.
That's right.
You can't be responsible. I understand your plight.
Yeah.
But we ought to take accountability. Mm-hmm. What? Let's read it. Romans chapter 9, verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, and so did Moses.
Yeah.
This is not just something that was in the scripture and Pharaoh didn't even know about. You remember God sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh this.
Yes, sir.
You better let my people go, but you're not going to.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
That's what he told him.
Yeah.
You better let them go, but you won't. Right?
Exactly.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And guess what? It was.
Amen.
And it still is being. And he sums up. Look at it. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he have mercy. Now that's, I'm not saying, even by nature, I don't like that if I really understand the ramifications of it. But by nature, we don't mind mercy.
No.
You know, we don't mind mercy.
That's nice.
As long as it's appropriate mercy, as long as it doesn't horn in too much on me, you know, I need just enough to get me there.
Yeah.
Just enough to get me where I need to go, maybe at least just enough to get out of hell, Mason. But then I want to live the way I want to live, don't you know? But it says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will. Have mercy is okay, but it's put in there. Therefore hath he, but the point is, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will.
Amen.
You can put a period there.
That's right.
That's it. That's, he has mercy on whom he will. But that's, with that side, if you believe in the absolute sovereignty of God's mercy, you must believe in the other side of the coin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there.
And whom he will, he lets the devil harden. Is that what it says? Now, does that happen sometimes? Can Satan harden men? Yes. Can men harden their own hearts? Yes. But that's not what Paul says, is it? And whom he will, what happens? He hardeneth. And you know, the only thing God has to do to harden those who are already reprobate is send them the truth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody said God's making them sin. No, they're doing exactly what they want to do.
That's right.
But the more, if you're a reprobate, let me tell you this, if you're unregenerate, even if you're one of the elect, if you're unregenerate, the more the truth assaults your heart and mind by nature, the more you will respond negatively against it.
Yes, sir.
Until God Almighty gives you spiritual life, you will respond toward the truth with hatred and malice.
Yeah.
Even if you're one of the elect.
That's true.
But the point is this. Let me get back. I dropped my spot there. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will. And whom he will, he hardens too. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh did less belly aching than the Israelites did.
Exactly. Yeah. That's true.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
The Israelites were guilty of far more murmuring than Pharaoh ever did. Right? But look at what it says. Here's the whole thing. And see, Paul knows, being moved by the Spirit of God, that we, by nature, are so adverse to this truth that immediately when we hear it, if we're actually hearing it, even intellectually, we're hearing it with some sense of understanding physically, we're going to respond negatively against it. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does God yet find fault for who has resisted his will? If Pharaoh was doing only what God purposed or willed for him to do, how could God find fault? That ain't fair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about.
Exactly.
That ain't fair. And what is Paul's answer? Does he give rationalism? Does he try to explain it in some understandable way that makes everything seem smooth and even and equal? God's got to treat us all the same, don't you know? Nobody can ever be treated differently. That's only fair. Right?
That's
only fair. You know, treat your children all the same. Well, they're not the same. Even twins are not the same. How do you treat two different individuals the same way? Huh? One of them's going to suffer unduly if you treat them both the same, right? What if you got one kid that's better than the other? Huh? We don't answer those questions, but what's Paul? It ain't fair! Because everything's got to be, it's got to be a Barney world. I love you, you love me, we're all just a big happy family. And the problem is, that ain't even true amongst God's people. We ain't even got there yet. And we're the ones closest to it.
Yep.
I'm serious. We're the ones closest to it. But we ain't got there yet. What does Paul say? What's Paul's answer? No! No, old man. And then I will... And then I miss that, but. So, nay, but old man is the way the KG puts it. No, old man. But who art thou that repliest against God? To accuse God of not being fair, you're replying against him. Here's the answer. Hath not the potter, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power?
Amen.
Now that includes both sides.
Yeah.
Ability and right.
God
has both the ability and the authority.
Yes, sir.
The right.
Yeah.
Hath not the potter the ability and the right over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Next verse, God wants to show his wrath. He will.
Amen.
God's been pleased to show his mercy. He has. And he will.
Amen.
Right?
It.
That's what it goes on to say.
Yes, sir.
Now let us note this. Now I've said this. I know people say, well, that makes you this, that makes you that. I don't care what it makes me.
Yeah.
That's not the point. I've had people try to say this before and was reprimanded for it. Some people don't like this. But, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? Here's the question.
Yeah.
What is that lump?
There you go.
Now, the lump is humanity. Men, listen, as they were originally created.
Yeah.
Not men as they fell in Adam. Because if it was, if the same lump is men as they fell in Adam, why did he have to make it to dishonor?
Exactly.
It would have already been dishonorable, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
The fall was dishonorable to God. It was the judgment that when you fall, you're going to what? Die. The lump is humanity, but it's not fallen humanity. It's unfallen humanity. And it's like Ralph Dale said, and it's true. Most people that are trying to preach even election are preaching God chose us out of Adam into Christ. Now that's the way you'll experience it.
Yeah.
You'll experience it out of Adam into Christ, but that ain't the way God purposed it. God purposed it and gave me grace in Christ before the world began. Therefore, I was placed in Christ before I ever fell in Adam.
Amen. That's it.
Well, that makes you this. So be it. I don't give a flop in the wind what that makes me. Well, that's what this book teaches.
Exactly.
And like Ralph Dell said, we're going to preach election. Let's get it right.
Yeah.
Let's get it right. We don't need, why do we tone it down just a little? Because it makes it a little more palatable to some people.
Exactly.
Maybe there'll be a few more come in. Listen, if you don't like God as it is, you might as well stay where you are.
Exactly.
When you hear these truths, you hate these truths, you don't want to be committed to these truths, you might as well be committed to yourself. You better go for evolution. That's all you got.
Exactly.
That's all you got going for you. Because the fact is, when you and I, either one, stand before this God, we either stand before Him in ourselves, or we'll stand before Him in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One or the other.
Amen.
One or the other. And all the arguments about, well, is that really fair? Is this right? Is that wrong? God tells us what's right and wrong.
Yes, sir.
There's enough in this book to let us know what's right and wrong. And as Joe said, the law is still there.
Yeah.
The law still tells you stealing is a sin. Right?
Yes,
adultery
sir.
Is a sin, right? Covetousness is a sin,
yes,
right?
Sir.
God's word still says that. God didn't save us so we could covet.
That's it.
He didn't save us so we could covet. Well, what did He save us from? He saved us from Himself. Huh? He saved us from the wrath of God.
Amen.
Isn't that what the book says? We've been saved from God's own wrath.
Yes, sir.
I know. It's true. We're saved from sin. That's true. We're saved from ourselves. But our ultimate problem is not that. It's God.
Yes, sir.
We're enemies to Him. We've offended Him.
Yes, sir.
We have belittled Him.
Oh, yeah.
We lie about who God is. And that's David's main problem in this psalm.
Mm-hmm.
See, I ain't even got to the psalm yet. What have I got? 15 minutes left? That's the main problem David has with men. Look at the last part. Verse 19, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God.
Mm-hmm.
But is David just talking about, see, we're all wicked by nature.
Yes, sir.
Right? We're all wicked by nature. Is David simply talking about sinners? Why didn't he just say sinners? Here the word is used as we sometimes would try to use certain phrases to distinguish above. Okay? Now look at it. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly.
Amen.
David is talking primarily about men and women, boys and girls for that matter. It don't matter. He's talking about people who speak wickedly against God. They lie on God. The first and greatest commandment is what? To love God with all you are.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Our Lord said this, and the second is likened to it.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Because if we could lay hold of the first one,
yeah,
we'd have no problem with the second one.
Exactly.
And if we could get a hold of the first one and the second one, we wouldn't have the problem with the other several hundred.
Yeah.
The other several hundred. Our Lord said that, the greatest commandment is the love of God.
Amen.
Right? When a man lies about God, that's the greatest insult, is it not?
Exactly.
For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. You see how David is talking about a specific group of people here?
Yes, sir.
Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. And we'll look at this in detail later, Lord willing. I count them mine enemies. But then he says, search me. Well, it may be that I'm wicked too.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now this is why I said God Almighty is sovereign in everything.
Yes, sir.
Because there might be somebody that lives just like me. Maybe even somebody that lives better than me.
Oh, yeah.
That's not guilty of certain sins that I've been guilty of.
Yeah.
That hasn't plunged quite so far into the depths that I have plunged into. Huh? Maybe. And yet God, through His sovereign mercy, may save me. And He may damn them.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
How many of us, I'm just trying to lay this truth out here as plain as you can. How many of us have been guilty of all the sins Lot was? And if you are, you better keep your mouth shut. Because there is no statute of limitations in some things. God might not condemn you, but men can get a hold of you. But you hear what I'm saying? How many of us have actually been guilty of some of the sins Lot was? Huh?
Exactly.
But we know Scripture declares Lot to be what? A righteous man and a just man.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, that ain't fair. I don't give a flip in the wind. That's grace. That's the whole point. Well, I live better than you. That's not the point.
Exactly.
The point is God saves through sovereign mercy and God damns through sovereign hardening.
Amen.
And He will save through righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, or He will damn because of rebellion, sin against God.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's it.
David sums it up. Now we'll sum it up. These first six verses. God knows us. He's told His people. God knows us. First part of verse 2. You can read it if you wish. God knows us when we are active or when we're static.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. You know where I'm active. You know when I'm lazy.
Yep.
You know if Mason, he knows if I'm walking in those good works before ordained or whether I'm over here committed to sin.
Exactly.
Being static, being slothful, being lazy. You know what that says?
Oh, yeah.
Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Well, I don't know whether it means that. Well, if you're in Christ after a while, you're going to realize that. God knows us when we're active or when we're static. God envelops us. That is, He compasses us. He encircles us. He envelops our conscious and our unconscious actions.
Yes.
He envelops us even when we perceive or don't perceive. And then what He says? Thou compassest my path and my lying down.
Amen.
When I'm active, again, it's the same thing, but just different phrases. When I'm moving forward or when I'm sitting still.
Yes, sir.
Right? And more than just sitting still, it's lying down. Then might come a time you say, I give up. I quit. And God might let you quit. Or so you thought.
Yeah.
But He's still right there, encircling you.
Yes, sir.
If you're His, He ain't let you go.
That's right.
I got to give the example. No, it's not going to be one of you all. Ain't you glad? Jonah. It says Jonah was going to run from the presence of the Lord, did he? No. God was right there with him the whole way, encompassing him about. When he was on the path, or when he was what? Physically laying down, sleeping, wasn't he? So when God envelops our conscious or unconscious actions, when we perceive right or wrong, or when we don't, and we can deceive ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? We can convince ourselves, well, this was a good thing to do, you know, when it was just rotten. And there are times we may convince ourselves, well, that wasn't very good. And that may have been one of the highest order.
Yep.
That may have been a work ordained of God that we walk in. And remember, the truth is, the only good works you'll ever do are those God's already ordained for you to walk in.
Yes, Exactly.
Everything else you walk in is fit for the fires of hell.
Yeah.
Me too. Me included. Next, God is personally, last part of verse 3, God is personally aware of all my ways. You're acquainted with all my ways. Acquainted. It didn't say you know them. You're acquainted with them. Next, God knows what I will say even before I say it. Verse 4. Well, it's even more than that, actually. Well, look at it. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows it even when you don't say it.
Yes, sir.
Even if you've never said it.
Exactly.
God knows what you would have said.
Yep.
Even when you don't. Next, David said, God has besieged my past and my future. Let me see it. Thou hast beset me behind and before. Well, what is but behind and before? Your past and your future.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
It ain't that hard. We just got to get out of the realm of the Sunday school and all of that garbage.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to give some theological answer and find some great verses that explain the sovereignty of God. No, life will show you the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
Where you live and walk and lay down your head will show you the sovereignty of God if you're one of His.
Yes,
and He's
sir.
Given you eyes to see and a heart to perceive. You won't be able to get away from it. When you make your bed in hell, I'm stepping outside of the first six, but it's okay. When you make your bed in hell, what do you find out? God's already there.
That's right.
God's already there. And then David kind of sums it up this way. I can't get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it.
Amen.
It reminds me of what Paul said. My time's about gone. It's Romans chapter 11. And I'm going to try to bring this all back together here. Romans chapter 11. Let me just begin in verse 33. See if this don't kind of sound familiar. Give a similar ring as David's words do. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him? And it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. And even God then moves Paul to do what? Say, amen.
Amen.
So be it. If you ever thought, I think I've got this figured out. When I do this, this happens. When I do that, that happens.
Yeah.
And then the next time around, when you do this, that happens.
Yeah.
And when you do that, this happens.
Yeah.
Well, if I do wrong, God's going to punish me. Not always.
Yeah.
Never. If I do wrong, God's going to get me. You know, God doesn't chasten us every time we do wrong. Because we'd never get out from under chastening Him if He chastened us every time we did wrong.
Exactly.
Huh?
That's it.
We'd be chastened for the rest of our life.
Exactly.
No, I know some folks don't feel that way about themselves, but they're just stupid.
Yeah. That's it.
That's right. Even our parents corrected us. But did they go around whipping you all the time? You know, a bad look. Whack! That's what you deserve.
Yeah.
I used to tell my children, I'm going to beat you once a week whether you need it or not. Now, I didn't. But I like to threaten them with it. Aren't you glad I ain't God? Huh? I used to tell them, I'm going to get the wrongdoer. Because I'll whack you both. Unless you tell me the truth, unless the doer fesses up, you know, it's going to be worse next time. Somebody said this don't sound like a very good parent. Probably wasn't. Probably why neither one of them here now. But let me tell you something. This life ain't about some willy-nilly. We all can always get along. God's ways are past finding out.
Yes, sir.
Understand, here, how do we comprehend this? How do we get our minds around this? the Jews as a nation hated the Christ of God when he came to this earth.
Yes, sir.
Did they not?
Yes, sir.
As a nation, collectively, nationally, they rejected him.
Yes, sir.
They said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And Scripture says right here in this chapter, God put them there.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right or wrong?
That's it.
That's right, isn't it? God put them there. And look what it says. Verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in what? Unbelief. God put them there. Is that not what that says?
Yes, sir.
That he might have mercy upon them all. That has nothing to do with fairness. That has to do with sovereign grace. Sovereign mercy. Well, God put them where they were so we could come in. That's true. But Paul says, be careful.
Yeah.
Don't become wise in your own conceits.
Exactly.
Because you've been brought in by faith. And what's faith?
Yeah.
An absolute free sovereign gift of God.
Amen.
And he says, when it comes to right now, concerning the Jews as a nation, the Jews collectively speaking, nationally speaking, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake.
Yeah.
But as touching the election, what does that say?
Yeah.
They're beloved for the Father's sakes.
Amen.
For the gifts and the calling of God are without, the better word is, change.
Yes, sir.
God ain't changed his mind concerning Israel as a nation.
These
men are running around talking about God's giving Israel over. No, God's still saving every Jew he purposed to save during this time period.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And after this time period is over, there's another large group of Jews that will collectively make up a Jewish nation, and God Almighty will show them mercy in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Right there in that book.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's God's truth. Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They're without change.
Amen.
My only hope is that's true.
Yes, sir.
Because if it's not, God might turn his back on me.
Exactly.
Right? Maybe we're still living in metaphorical symbolical language. Symbolical language. Who's to say? Mason, who's to say?
Exactly.
Unless the fact is God means what he says.
Yes, sir.
When he uses a symbol or a type, he'll let us know it.
That's it. Yep.
Oh, but think of it. Now read it. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in not belief, but unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them all. And that is why Paul cries out, oh, the depth of God. Can you figure that out? I can't.
Exactly.
It follows, Mason, no absolute certain pattern, does it? Well, God chose the good people. That ain't the way it works, is it?
No, sir.
God didn't even choose the worst people, did he? Well, God damns the worst. No, he didn't. There's some of the worst that he saves.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's some of the best that he damns.
Sir.
Right?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Somebody said that. Sounds like to me God's way above us. Ding, ding. Just maybe. Just maybe the light's going on.
Yeah.
You know? Well, see, that's what starts to happen. Is God starts to show two major things. God starts to show to me who I am. And he begins to reveal to me who he is. Mainly in the person of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's where if it's not working around those two central things, well, that's one of the first things the Spirit of God does, doesn't he? Is convince us of what? Our unbelief.
Yes, sir.
We two things we don't believe. The truth about ourselves, the truth about Christ.
Exactly.
That's the two main problems we got. We won't believe the truth about ourselves. We don't believe the truth about God. That's where God starts with us all. Father, I pray that as we part our separate ways, we may be mindful of one another, to pray for one another, to hope with and in thy Son for one another. But Lord, most of all, may we do it in a sense of peace and security and safety, knowing that you do all things well. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.